apps on your smartphone, PC, or tablet. Do it by visiting RadioAguiland.com. This is KZNEKNDEHD3 and K274 CM College Station Bryan.
I'm Jay Berman. This report is brought to you by Barbasol Shaving Cream, America's leader for a close, comfortable shave, now with new rust-proof aluminum bottoms. It's a tale of two Mondays in the NFC East. We'll start with the Cowboys back in the race in the division after Sunday's win in Miami. Here's Jason Garrett, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
When you evaluate, you know, what wins and loses in this league, it's your ability to make the plays necessary in the fourth quarter when the game's on the line, and we did that yesterday.
As for the Eagles, not nearly as much positive energy around the club. In fact, fire chip chants from the crowd in Philly. Kelly spoke to WIP in Philadelphia today.
I don't think you have to yell at grown men. Yeah, I think every single player in that locker room is as disappointed or more disappointed than anybody in this city.
Head to CBSSportsRadio.com for links to the full interviews. Elsewhere, Joe Flacco, ACL, Justin Forsett, arm, both done for the season. And we've got Monday Night Football, Patriots hosting the Bills in Foxborough. From the College Game, Syracuse has fired head coach Scott Schaefer. He will, however, coach the final game of the season against Boston College. Iowa moves up to third in the AP poll. Clemson, Alabama, 1-2. Notre Dame and Oklahoma, 4-5. The college football playoff rankings get updated tomorrow night. All right, NBA, the record for losses to start a season belongs to the 2009 Nets. They lost their first 18. Sixers play tonight. They're 0-14 on the road for Minnesota. And baseball, it is officially official. The Dodgers have a new manager. His name is Dave Roberts. I'm Jay Berman.
We've added the NFL Today's Bart Scott to our team on Wednesday evenings from 6 to 8 Eastern on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio. I'm Patrick Seiner with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Brought to you by Wolfies. New ownership, new management, new Wolfies Aggieland. Try us for the first time or please try us again. Wolfie's Restaurant and Sports Bar on Harvey Road, where friends meet to have fun. The Theater Company presents Oliver, based on the Charles Dickens novel. Performances continue through December 6th. Ticket information is online at theatercompany.com. Grind for God Ministries is holding a homeless hygiene drive through December 15th. Most needed items include deodorant, diapers, and bar soap. Drop-off locations are Grind for God Ministries and Village Cafe in Bryan. The Stark Galleries at Texas A&M University present Visual Transcendence, featuring the paintings of Michael Collins and ceramics and drawings by Jim Edwards and Amanda Berry through December 15th. Today's going to be sunny. We'll hit a high of 63 with calm winds. Tonight, partly cloudy, down to a low of about 45. A special musical tribute will be played tomorrow from 11 to 1:30 on the entire Bryan Broadcasting family of stations in memory of John Hardin Hicks II.
Meet America's favorite action heroes. They're tough and rugged. It's Ram 1500 and 3500. So tough, they never need stunt doubles. Because when these guys are headed to their next big scene, they can even handle pulling their own trailers. Get 0% APR for 75 months on 2015 Ram 1500 during the Ram Black Friday Blockbuster Sales Event. It's the must-see event of the year, going on now.
Right now, get $3,000 cash allowance on 2015 Ram 2500 or 3500 models. See your local Ram dealer today and take advantage of this great offer. Visit ramtrucks.com to find a Ram dealer near you and to check out other great deals on the full line of rugged Ram trucks. 0% APR financing for 75 months equals $1,333 per month per 1,000 financed for qualified buyers through Chrysler Capital, regardless of down payment. Not all buyers will qualify. Residency restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Take retail delivery by 11/30/15. Ram is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Nothing says great times quite like Aggie football, and Watercrest at Bryan Retirement Community celebrates the 12th man in style. Enjoy beautiful independent living in the heart of Aggieland with spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom residences, views of legendary Kyle Field, community tailgate parties, and more. Customize your lifestyle at Watercrest at Bryan, a game day Aggie broadcast partner, and schedule your tour today. Visit watercrestbryan.com, where the maroon and white is always on full display.
Hi, I'm Chip Howard. This Christmas, Blue Baker and The Zone are asking you to add a child you've never met to your Christmas list. Christmas angels are little paper angels with a child's name and Christmas gift wish. Choose a Christmas angel from the tree, set up inside both Blue Baker locations, 201 Dominick Drive in College Station and 800 University Drive, then shop for your angel, drop off the wrapped gifts at the tree, and we'll do the rest. The last day to drop off angel gifts is Friday, December 11th. Thank you for helping make a Merry Christmas for a Christmas angel.
Your home for Texas A&M women's basketball is Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone, 102.7 FM.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Robert Sestam, brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming to you the season that dreams are made of at mscopus.org. Lots of great shows and events. You can check that out again, mscopus.org. Join now as we are on Monday, everyone's favorite part of the week. Former Texas A&M quarterback Stephen McGee joins us to give his thoughts on the weekend, the game, whatever's going on in college sports. Stephen, for Kyle Allen to basically not play at all in two games, then get some mop-up duty against a FCS club, come out and have this performance, I thought that was extremely impressive. I mean, what did you think of the game?
Yeah, I definitely share that with you. I thought he played really well. He was decisive with the football, which is always important. Felt like he got the ball out of his hands quicker, threw the ball with authority, threw it really accurately, which is something that I don't think we've seen from the quarterback position this year, at least consistently. He's putting the ball where it needed to be on each throw, which I was really impressed with. So that's all to boot against a defense that, statistically speaking, was toward the tops of the SEC. Now, on the field, I don't think they were near as good as what they were made out to be. But all in all, I think you take away a lot of really good things from this game.
Yeah, I think that certainly the defense feels good, and obviously after the shutout, and then the offense doesn't feel good, just kind of getting back in a rhythm a little bit. Was there anything that you were surprised with in this game? I mean, I thought the A&M offense was way more dominating than I expected going in. Anything that you were just watching this and thought, wow, I mean, I didn't expect to see that happen?
Well, I didn't know that you could have that bad of quarterback play at a Division I school, especially in the SEC. Like, that was poor. I know Vanderbilt, it's probably hard to recruit good players to your school. There's not a lot that's real appealing, except maybe that they get to hang out in Nashville. But, good gosh, these guys couldn't start for some high school teams in Texas. It didn't look like. They were bad. I was shocked about that. Now, defensively speaking, they definitely played well, and I don't want to take away credit where credit is due. Certainly our defense had something to do with the way those guys look. But just mechanically speaking, their ability to throw the football, just didn't see a lot of arm talent there. Scratching my head, wondering where in the heck these guys are from and how they made their way to the SEC of all places. So they looked out of place to me. Now, all things considered, man, it was the type of win we really needed. And I'm excited now about this LSU game that I was fretting as an A&M fan. It's amazing how college football can change in a matter of 7 days. So who knows if Les Miles will be on the sideline or not, but it's going to be what I thought was going to be a blowout, should be an entertaining football game.
I feel like we have to ask you, because you went through this with going into a final game when the coach's future was in doubt in 2007, when Dennis Franchione was still at Texas A&M, going into the final game against Texas. There were some rumors that he was on the way out. There was all this kind of stuff going on. How distracting was that really? And what was that like? I mean, what are the LSU players going through this week dealing with that sort of thing? Now, obviously, Les Miles has been a lot more successful at LSU than Tedesco Franchione was at Texas A&M. So as far as the sentiment from the players, it might be a little bit different and from the fans. But as far as that kind of distraction outside the program, is that something that you can really tune out?
I think it's really, really difficult, especially for guys that are 18 to 22 years old. That's not something that's really in their job description. It's hard. I remember when Fran was on his way out, I knew prior to the day, of course, he was fired. It happened, I don't know, 2-3 weeks before that even. So that was tough. You feel a little bit, you know, frustrated. Your back's against the wall and everybody's against you. But that mentality can, a lot of times, rally a football team and help you play better. And not only that, but he kind of gave up some of the play-calling responsibilities in our last game, so we got to throw it 35 times instead of having me run it 35 times. So that was a lot of fun. So I think there's a lot of positives that can come out of it. Now, at the end of the day, it's not an ideal situation, and I don't think LSU's sitting there thinking that this is going to be something that they're going to look at going into A&M game as a huge advantage.
You mentioned that the team did play well. We all remember that game about how well you guys did play. How much of that was, once again, not so much Dennis Franchione on his way out, but that you guys had heard so much crap all year long and now your back's against the wall and it was just like, hey, we're going to go out and play. What was the team attitude that day that you played so well?
I think everybody felt more free. Almost like that epiphany moment of, well, what else can possibly go wrong? We might as well have fun and enjoy it because everybody hates us. We've been a big disappointment. Our coach is already fired. What else is there to really lose at this point? And because of that, it's amazing what happens when you have fun and enjoy playing football the way it's supposed to be played. You're not worried about all the other stuff, and you can just have fun and enjoy the moment. And in a lot of ways, I think, you know, drawing a little bit of a parallel to what's happened with Kyle Allen, you know, he's gone through so much this season, a lot of emotions, a lot of ups and downs. He's been benched. He's had to sit there and watch two other quarterbacks play, and he was relegated to third string. He's a five-star quarterback that was supposedly the top kid in the country, and here he is at little Texas A&M in College Station, Texas, and he's not even getting all the scout team reps. So because of that, there's something about it that's freeing because you have nothing to lose. And because of that, you come out against Vanderbilt, you play well. So kudos to him, and hopefully that doesn't happen to LSU. Hopefully it tanks them, and we come out and play lights out again.
One other question going back to the game Saturday night. In college, how many times did you go into a game, Stephen, that it looked to me like the game plan held up for all four quarters? Is that kind of rare in a college game, looking back in your career, that a game plan would hold up for all four quarters? Or did you guys always have to make a lot of adjustments on the fly?
You know, I want to come up with some smart aleck comment right now.
Sure, yeah.
But our game plan was about 10 plays, and hopefully it did hold up because we didn't have much more than that. But
that's good. That's good.
You know, in the NFL, it's hard. That it's a game of adjustment. It's a chess game where offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators are always going to be trying to make moves that make you compromise a formation or a strength. Now, in college football, I think it's harder to do that. I think they have to line up and play more or less what you see is what you get. Not going to have near as many blitzes, coverages, because they don't have as much preparation time, certainly, but because of up-tempo offenses, they don't allow you to huddle. They don't allow you to call a different play. Sometimes you got to call it and run it. You may be stuck in cover four for four plays in a row because they just keep calling plays quickly. Mm-hmm. So because of that, I think the adjustments are fewer in college football than they are in the NFL. And I think you go in with a game plan and probably the majority of the time, those plays hold up for four quarters, to answer your question, Seth. I know it's a little bit long-winded, yeah, roundabout, but I really feel like when you go into a game and you know in the low red zone you're going to get quarters coverage and you put in a play for double post, taking away the strong safety, now I know I got one-on-one versus an outside leverage corner in the red zone, I'm probably going to get that. I mean, we game-planned it. They showed it on tape, 85% of snaps, and I feel good in the fourth quarter that I'm in a low red. I'm going to get that again, so I think teams by and large, will play to their tendencies in college football.
One other question. You mentioned atmospheres. You know, Vanderbilt had none. Now A&M goes to LSU. In your career, what was the toughest venues for you to play on the road?
Yes, absolutely. Texas Tech. Holy cow. There was so much distraction. I can remember in warm-ups, we'd always enjoy the signs. They had the best signs. We were never warm going into that game, and, of course, we never threw the ball, so it didn't really matter anyway. But we were over there reading these signs, falling over. That was a hard environment to play. It was a hard match. For it. And whenever they got up, they're a really good environment to succeed in. And I think LSU is going to be very much the same way. I think it can go one way or the other for us, much like the Philadelphia Eagles crowd. When they're winning, it's going to be hostile. You got a bunch of bourbon, drinking crazy rednecks, having a great time. But on the flip side, if things go poorly for LSU, I think that they could turn the tide and be calling for a less miles hanging on the 50-yard line before the game's over. So that could play into our advantage as well. Who knows? But it's definitely an environment that you really do have to prepare for as an offense, especially because you're going to be tasked with pre-snap communication, silent counts, a lot of things that you don't have to do at home.
Steve, I got a couple of things for you before we let you go. And one of them is kind of just on a – we talk about this all the time when teams go play somewhere cold, how they adjust to that, but none of us have ever really done it. I don't know what the coldest game was that you played in, but it was pretty chilly there in Nashville, and we saw some of the drops early in the game. Is that one of the things that can happen, or does the cold not really affect you as much if it's, you know, not super cold? I mean, it was probably in the low 40s and raining a little bit there. How does that really affect the game?
It can play an effect. There's no doubt about it as a coach and as a player. But at the end of the day, it's pathetic. You can't allow that to happen. The ball hits you in the hands. You make the play. I don't care if it's 15 degrees or 110 degrees. Great receivers make those plays. You're not going to see Jerry Rice dropping a ball because there's 30 degrees outside and his hands hurt. So you got to warm up your fingers. You got to do whatever you got to do to make sure you're able to perform. But at the end of the day, your job as a quarterback or as a lineman is to play despite the elements. And it's the same elements on their side as ours is too. So can it have an impact on the football game? Do elements affect? Yes, they do. But as an athlete and as a competitor, that can't happen. You can't allow outside elements to affect what happens to you or in your mind. So that was the most disappointing thing in my mind coming away from that game were drops. Especially with quarterbacks that are trying to get in rhythm and trying to get this season going, and that's supposedly our strength of our offense. That can't happen. That was really embarrassing. And they weren't tough catches either. They were what we would call a bag of chips catches that Cessna could run out there and catch. So that part hurt me a little bit.
Final thing, I got to ask. Even though it's been 4 years now, and when it comes to Thanksgiving week. And you're sitting around with the family on Thursday and eating whatever you're going to eat. This part of you...
Yes, it hurts. It hurts. I want to play them too, especially this year, especially after a 25-point shutout against Vanderbilt. Love to beat TU right now. And I think across this great state, there's a lot of people that are going to be turning on the game and watching LSU or whoever the heck Texas plays. I don't know who it is, but it just doesn't seem right. And I'm glad it doesn't seem right because it is a special rivalry. As arrogant as they are, and as much as I dislike Texas and what they stand for, the game itself and the players that played in it, a lot of great traditions, a lot of incredible memories. Most families in the state of Texas are divided 50-50. Now it seems, Texas won, A&M the other side. It's a rivalry that this state needs, and unfortunately, hearing guys like Jason Cook and different people talk, it probably won't happen for 10, 12, 13 years just because the SEC schedule and Thanksgiving and whatnot. So a lot of powers that be make those decisions, obviously, but for fans like us, it certainly is disappointing eating turkey and sitting around Thanksgiving with family and not being able to watch A&M beat up on Texas.
Steven, thanks for being with us this week. Lots of good stuff there, and we'll talk to you again next week, and we'll see if A&M can get a rivalry going here with LSU a little bit.
Absolutely. It's going to be a fun win for us. Y'all have a great week. Thanks as always, guys.
Thanks, Steven.
Always interesting stuff. I didn't have to get the name out, Cease. He was ready to go. He was ready for that question.
I know. Well, he played in it.
Well, that's why I wanted
to. It's so special, and to think he had some special moments, as all A&M Texas players did.
Well, and he had a couple seasons.
You take that away from them. You take that away from everybody.
He had a couple seasons that were good examples, too, of seasons that otherwise weren't really that memorable, but they beat Texas at the end.
Beat Texas.
And that's something that fans remember.
And you take something away from your rival. When you beat them, you take something away from them.
Yeah, no matter how good their season was.
You take it away from them. And he's right. It's going to take now 10 to 15 years for A&M LSU to get that way.
But like I said, good stuff. I didn't have to get the name out. He knew where that was
going. Exactly where you were going. That was a bag of chips for him.
Yeah, that was a bag of chips.
He didn't drop it.
All right, we'll go to break. We'll come back. Some more of y'all's texts. We will get to a few different things when we come back. Keep them coming. 229-1939. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Here's Brad Beard of Intercon.
When we started Intercon in early 1991, we were well aware that we would be competing with some companies that use unscrupulous techniques to make a quick sale, such as bait and switch, or 40% off if you commit today, or misleading, incomplete quotes. Intercon's practice is to be completely honest and encourage prospective customers to talk to our former customers. We've encouraged customers to get multiple quotes. We are confident and proud of our value proposition for windows, glass, and solar screens. We never want anyone to rush into a decision they will regret in the future. Just remember, warranties are only as good as the people who provide them and are servicing the area when situations arise. This is our home and only marketplace, and we will protect our home turf. You've probably heard the saying, the buck stop here, and that is with me, Brad Beard, president and co-owner of Intercon LLC.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
This Thanksgiving, spend your day giving back to our community. Epicure's Catering will be teaming up with the Brazos Food Bank and Duncan Dining Center for the 32nd annual Thanksgiving in the Brazos Valley. Hundreds of local volunteers are needed to lend a hand in preparation and delivery of over 1,000 Thanksgiving meals locally. Donations of food are being accepted at the Brazos Food Bank. Monetary donations for Thanksgiving in the Brazos Valley can be made at any location of the bank and trust. Sponsorship opportunities are also available. Call Epicure's Catering at 695-0985. Thank you for making this Thanksgiving special for your neighbors in the Brazos Valley.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Pioneer Steel, Coldwell Banker Agtown Realtors, Rudy's Barbecue, and Garland Shelton Imports.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
On Sports Talk, Chip and Krista discuss a touchy subject.
You hang around at Kyle Field during football games some, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen so many gray-headed men with so many 30-plus-year-old blonde women with big breasts?
I don't know if I noticed the breasts, but you can't
swing a dead cat around the stadium without walking into those kind of couples.
Sports Talk, tackling all the difficult social issues. Weekdays from 4 to 6 on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Welcome back. It's like the chill. It's like the final segment. We're chilling
before
the high school report.
There you go.
Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. We're talking to Stephen McGee last segment. Lots of good stuff there. We'll have that online here a little bit for those of you that missed that. Dive back into y'all's text that we got before the break. Someone said, or before the big break, someone said, do y'all see a change at the OC position for 2016, and will Spav still be on staff if there is a change? I don't know about the latter part of that. I think there's going to be some major changes to A&M's offense this offseason. I think that much is pretty clear. Do they mix and match from in-house? They've done that before when Kingsbury left. Obviously, they promoted McKinney, and then they kind of flopped McKinney for Spavital, who was already on the staff. I don't know that that's the way they would go, but there are some coaches that haven't called plays before on the staff, so I don't know that that's what they'll do, but it's a possibility, something to keep in mind. But, yeah, there's going to be some major changes to the staff this offseason, and specifically with the quarterbacks. They've got to figure out how to develop those guys. And if Spavital is not the guy to do that, then they got to figure out someone who can. Maybe running the whole offense is taking away from his ability to
Correct.
Do that. So we don't know. We don't get to see practice every day, but maybe by putting him back in a quarterback's role, he can focus more on that. Again, that's hard to say because we don't see it every day. But there's going to be some major changes in the offseason of the A&M offense. That much is pretty obvious. Someone said, what's the over-under for amount of time Charlie Strong keeps his job after Les Miles becomes available? I give it about an hour. The thing, Texas isn't the job for Les Miles. We talked about this on the way back.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
We talked about this on the way back yesterday with all the jobs that are open. And in fact, Syracuse is now open. Scott Schaefer, Sean, someone.
Close enough.
Someone
3 years.
Fired at Syracuse is open now too. Les Miles becomes the best coach available if you're a second tier job, and especially if you're a long-term second-tier job. I think he'd be perfect for South Carolina. If Les Miles comes open, their coaching search should be over. They should just ask him, hey, what's it going to take? We'd love to have you in Columbia. Let's sign the papers. We'll get this all done with. You can still take a biannual trip to College Station and play against your favorite team. All those things, that should be done, right? I mean, that seems pretty plain for me. Or Missouri.
Well, or Missouri, or somewhere like that, where he wants to go, because I think Les Miles has earned that, and you know, like you said, like one of those middle programs.
Yeah. Not USC,
but that can win, do well. Like Steve Spurrier, 3-11 win seasons in a row. That's where, and I didn't realize Les Miles is so old. He's 62, so he wants to go somewhere that he can win right now. He doesn't want to go somewhere he can build. And of course, his age means he doesn't get a Texas job because his resume doesn't probably get that. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is, we don't know for sure that he wants to coach next year. He
Correct.
Might take a year off. We've seen that before.
He might go to broadcasting. He might think that he is the next Lee Corso.
Yeah, he might be. And also, you never know with these coaches. Sometimes they want to take a year off, spend some time with the family. Then they get the itch. They get back into it.
It's tough for him at 62. So if he wants to coach, I think he might need to coach now.
Yeah, I mean, he could take a year and just see what shakes out. And he's not going to take any more than that, or you're too far removed.
Because I think, once again, is we said going in, this would be a record for schools. This is 12 D1 jobs
already
open, and there's going to be a domino effect when other guys get hired. Now, this will be a record. So if you're Les Miles, you might want to get one of those jobs now.
The other thing, though, is if you're thinking about firing your coach and you're a third-tier school, you might want to go ahead and hold on to him, because this is not the year to be in the – now, we say that now. It could end up being a great year. So if someone fires a coach that you really like, then you might be able to get him, and you didn't expect that before. But
because Syracuse has whiffed several times here in the last 15
years.
Well,
and the thing to me is they're in the ACC, but is the Syracuse job better than, say, the Houston job? You know, like if – you know, and everyone thinks that he's going to end up somewhere. So if Herman ends up, you know, wherever he ends up going, well, any number of the jobs that are open. I mean, I think if you're Syracuse, you're now competing with teams that aren't in major conferences. You're competing with Memphis because Fuente is going to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. You're not competing with the schools that you're competing with on the field.
We're talking about Virginia Tech's open, you know.
Yeah, Virginia Tech is open. Potentially Virginia is going to be open.
Here's the deal is
for Maryland.
For example, is when you look at Syracuse, what happens is a lot of those people are saying, well, why can't we like Pitt? Pitt hired Narducci. He's had an immediate turnaround. That's what happens when one of your rivals in Pitt and Syracuse are rivals, and now they've gone from the Big East, migrated to the ACC. And I know what happens. Those fans are saying, well, why didn't we hire Narducci? We waited a year too long. Why didn't we get him?
Someone has an interesting scenario on here, because this is a name that's been thrown around a lot, and that's Gundy for the jobs that are out there. Could Oklahoma State, if Gundy gets hired by, I don't know, whoever, let's say Miami or
then
LSU.
Les Miles goes back.
Could Les Miles go back? I wouldn't think that that'd be the way that Oklahoma State would go, but you never know. I mean, that you'd be talking about having a coach for a while, I guess.
How good is he with the money guy? I'm doing a blank on Boone Pickens. If Boone likes Les Miles, then he's going to get to go back if that happens.
Yeah.
In that scenario.
It's a weird offseason already. The thought of them firing Les Miles seems insane. I know we talked about earlier how if you're not in it, it's hard to say.
But we've
for
talked
sure.
to people over there. It's not insane.
Yeah.
That's why it's going to happen.
I know, but from the outside, it just seems.
From the outside, it does.
Who are they going to hire that's better than Les Miles? And I know that they think they have a shot at Jimbo Fisher, but then why would Jimbo Fisher leave that job? I don't know, Cease. Too much going on. Let's see. What else is going on? Aggie soccer, moving on. How about that?
Got to give kudos to A&M soccer and volleyball because they're on a roll right now. A&M soccer is one victory away from getting back to the College Cup. And let's be honest, there was 3 weeks ago, this was an unranked team that was fourth maybe in the SEC when you looked at the rankings, not RPIs. But G's girls have played well down the stretch, and they're very young. And so volleyball is very young.
Yeah.
So this bodes well for the future. And right now is Gary Blair probably always thinks he should get top billing in women's basketball. But right now he's got to take a little backseat even to the women's sports, to volleyball. And
right now he's taking a backseat in his own arena. Volleyball is now over in Reed. So
that's
their,
yeah.
their show
right
tire, for now.
Yeah.
But yeah,
not
great
right
weekends,
tire, but
great weekends for them. And what a battle back yesterday for the volleyball team.
Oh, just you're down 2-0.
Real
Florida.
Quick, I don't know if we still have the jingle queued up, but real quick, we're going to hit people with a little. I have to say this one. Today in Aggie history.
And now, today in Aggie history.
We had him on. We had Stephen McGee on, so I felt.
Oh,
oddly.
Wow.
November 23rd, 2007, Dennis Franchione resigned as Texas A&M head football coach. How about that?
Kim today, and I have decided.
Today.
Don't forget the.
In Aggie history. There's also some other stuff. The Cushing Memorial Library was dedicated in 1927. And on this day in 2007, the same day as the Dennis Franchione resigned, Joseph Jones was on the SI Sports Illustrated cover. For A&M's basketball team. Him and DJ Augustine were on the regional cover.
So didn't remember that. I don't remember that.
But there you go. The big day. You don't remember the cover? It looked weird. DJ Augustine's reaching over his head, trying to pull the ball away.
No, don't remember.
You wouldn't know anyway. It's a basketball thing.
But
there you go. Dennis Franchione resigned. What a great day. We got Stephen McGee on. They talked about it. It was just tied in too well. Not
I wonder
to
if we should have asked him to write those 10 plays they went in and gave him a game plan with 1 through 10.
Oh, I don't know. What a wild week. We will continue
Texas
to talk
State,
about
Texas
it.
Texas State could be open.
Yeah. Texas State
We've heard
could be
about
an
that.
Open job. That's true.
Not that we're laughing, but it's just going to
be
Oh,
I'm laughing. Yeah, there could be any number of jobs open. And the thing that's interesting to me is Texas. Does Charlie Strong want another job? He keeps saying all the right things. He even said today that the players know he's not leaving. He's here, blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, it'd be hard to turn, you know, to get out of there and then take his job, or maybe he's a little bit more, I don't know. I don't think he'll end up leaving, so I think all the talk about Texas is probably wasted time, but it's possible.
We're not walking in his shoes over there. He might want to get out.
Yeah, you never know.
He's playing it right if he is getting out.
Here's what I've learned the last 10 years. You never know.
Never know.
Yeah. You never know what the coaches are really thinking.
And you never know behind closed doors. There are sometimes reprieves from the governor, but I just can't see Les Miles getting a reprieve from the governor.
Sometimes the coaches love a job more than you think. That you think they're ready to leave and they don't. And there's also jobs that people hate more than you think. They're ready to leave and you don't. They look happy, and then they'd bolt for somewhere unexpected. So, like I said, you never know. Silly season. That's why they call it that. All right, we're going to go to break. Speaking of busy and everybody winning, when we come back, it's time for the high school report. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone 102.7 FM. Investigators with College Station Police have asked for help from anyone who may have seen a bicyclist get hit by a driver who left the scene Saturday morning around 4 on the freeway southbound service road between Cavenders and Allen Honda. A Bryan man out of jail on bond awaiting trial on 5 criminal charges was shot and killed near his home early Saturday morning. Police say 30-year-old Broderick Turner was shot in his car on West 16th, south of Highway 21 between Hall and Logan. A motive has not been determined, according to Officer Kelly McKeithen.
At this time, it's too early to speculate. We are asking if anyone does have information to contact our criminal investigation division at 209-5300, or if they want to remain anonymous, they can call Crime Stoppers at 775-TIPS.
McKeithen says patrol officers from several miles away heard gunfire, then 911 dispatchers directed them to the scene. Turner was still alive when officers arrived, and they joined emergency personnel to provide medical treatment. According to online court records, Turner was scheduled to go on trial next July on charges of assaulting a family member with a prior conviction. And he was scheduled to make a court appearance next week on four misdemeanor charges. The red kettles are out and bells are ringing, but the Salvation Army's Jeremy Walker says volunteers are still needed.
We just got started, but we're having a hard time with even getting workers. We got some good volunteers now, but we have a lot of open spots. So the more folks want to come out, we just ask for a two-hour minimum shift. Come out and help the cause and help out their neighbors in need here in the community.
Walker says they had to pay 80% of their bell ringers last year, which is money that could have gone back to people in need. If you're interested in volunteering, contact the Salvation Army at 979-361-0618. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
It's the best time of year to buy from the best farm and tractor retailer in the Brazos Valley, Norman G. Tractor. Get zero down payment, 0% financing, top dollar for your trade-in, and free delivery. Get the Kubota L2501F 25-horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot Land Pride shredder and a 5-foot Land Pride box blade with teeth. And $2,250 in rebates for only $11,245 or $160 per month. Want your tractor to do even more? Well, try the Kubota L2501 HST 25-horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front-end loader, 5-foot Land Pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Get $2,250 in rebates. Pay only $18,145 or $231 per month. Why buy used when you can buy new with payments as low as these? That's why Norman G. Tractor is known as the place to shop for all of your tractor, utility vehicle, and lawn equipment needs. Shop online at normangtractor.com, corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Norman G. And remember, nobody beats Norman G. Tractor. Nobody.
Hi, Gabe Bach here from TexAgs Radio. And if you're not currently a premium or varsity level subscriber to TexAgs.com, what are you waiting for? TexAgs.com is the inside source for all things Aggie sports. The leaders in breaking news coverage, in-depth analysis, recruiting scoop, and more. Whether it's exclusive long-form interviews with Aggie players and coaches or insight on the next big recruit on his way to Aggieland, nobody covers A&M like Texags. Jump on board now and don't miss out on the very best in A&M sports coverage. It's texags.com.
The guide to better living in the Brazos Valley is the Brazos Life Annual Manual. The Brazos Life Annual Manual is packed with everything to see and do in the Brazos Valley. From where to go to take in our vigorous art scene or where to go for a vigorous workout, this magazine features the who's who, what's what, and where's where in the Brazos Valley. Advertise your business in the Brazos Life Annual Manual. Call Sam Jones with Brian Broadcasting or email sam@brianbroadcasting.com.
You can hear every game all season long of Texas A&M men's basketball over on News Talk 1620. WTAW. Now, it's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Welcome back. Time for the High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. And fellas, like the A&M soccer and A&M volleyball teams, the youth have forgotten how to lose at football. And
boy,
they
seem that way.
They keep winning. Yeah. Also, before we dive into all the high school games, we should, and someone texted this in, give a shout-out to a high school product of the area, Chris Johnson. Great performance in the second half for Baylor on Saturday.
Larry actually called me and he texted me and told me that Chris Johnson had just come into the game, and I got in just in time to see Chris throw a touchdown pass. And I was actually over at Bryan this morning and watching them work out for their game this week and talked to B.J. Ross. We're going to do a feature on this week. And B.J. said, you know, when he was a senior here, he said, a lot of people were kind of down on Chris. They didn't think he'd be able to make it big time. He said, he taught me all about being a quarterback. He worked with me. And then he talked about, he said, all he needed was a chance. Well, he just got that chance. There are a lot of people at Bryan that are very proud of Chris Johnson.
Yeah, and the way that Larry's buddy Art Briles described it today at his press conference, it sounds like he will start this week against TCU as well.
Well, and I think a lot of credit to Chris just for hanging in there, you know, and for sticking it out, because it would have been easy not to. You know, there's been, and I'm not saying anything bad about Kyler Murray or Kyle Allen. There's been so much speculation this year about, well, so-and-so's not going to play and they're going to leave or whatever. Well, Chris Johnson, you know, sucked it up, moved to receiver, and look, he got his moment, you know, of glory there in a nationally ranked game. You know, and I think we should say this too. And you guys tease a lot about Coach Riles yelling at me, which he did. But in addition to being a Larry Yeller, he's obviously a quarterback whisperer too.
Yeah,
so let's give some credit for that.
And that guy can coach some football.
Yeah, but I want to give a lot of credit to Chris because he's just a good kid and made great grades in school. He's the kind of leader that that you want to represent your
he's
school.
He's an anti-Aubrey.
He's the anti-Aubrey. That's exactly right.
Well, he's way more athletic than me. I will give him
that. It was a great night for him. And the fact that David knows him and that he is a good kid and that he's the kind of guy you can root for makes it even better. And you know the people at Bryan are just how sweet is that for them.
First thing I heard from Ross Rogers when I came, he said, "Did you see Chris the other night?" Yeah, it was great. It was really good.
All right, always good to see that. Let's talk about the guys themselves. Bryan, winners. College Station, winners. Consol, Navasota. It seems like everybody keeps winning.
Everybody's playing pretty well. We'll talk about Navasota in a minute because they had a little bit of a struggle in their game. But
it was close.
The second round of the playoffs, and David kind of predicted this a little bit. Aubrey, it's hard to tell with the playoff brackets. You would think each round gets progressively tougher, and I think you could make the point that after the third round, that is a little more common, but it's not unusual in the Texas high school football playoffs with four teams getting in from each district that you could have a tougher game in the first round in by district than you do in the area round. David kind of predicted that this week. He thought Bryan might be the most competitive game. The Vikings won that pretty convincingly, the two games that I covered. A&M Consolidated beat Magnolia 49-0. It was nowhere near as competitive as their by-district game against Waco had been. And then the game that I covered the night after that, College Station won 52-7 against Houston North Forest, and that wasn't a competitive game either. I think all of our area teams, and maybe we should go with David since he called the shots on the other rounds as well. I think all of them will get much stiffer tests coming up this week in the regional semifinals.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I do want to say something about the Bryan game. The game, you kind of looked at the score because it stayed close for an extremely long period of time. Bryan gave up some long, big plays defensively, which is not something they do all that often. That doesn't happen all that often. But they hurt themselves in the game the other night. They got down in scoring position and didn't get points, which is not something they've done much this year. Usually when they get there, they either get a field goal or they get the ball in the end zone, and that's something they've been very good about this entire season, but had a few mistakes, and they basically talked to a couple of kids today. They said, "We can't do that this week. We've got to do that against George Ranch." But this is a big game for them to be playing at this round. And I got the feeling, Larry, like they were almost excited to be there last year for Thanksgiving. Now I think they see this as a game that's part of the process, which does make it a lot easier for you to win that game against York Ranch, I would think.
Well, you got to have a game that was close and had some big plays. My games were 42-0 at halftime and 38-0 at halftime. So I just got to find a mouse that I can put in my pocket to keep statistics in the second half, and I can have my story written before the final gun even goes off and just plugs in the number. I think you're right. I think Consol went this far, David, a couple of years ago. They made it beyond this round to the state quarterfinals, but these kids didn't play. You know, this is a new group of kids. But then you look at College Station, they got beat, upset by Hutto in the first round last year and had never won a playoff game until a couple of weeks ago. Now they're three rounds in, and I think they have a pretty good matchup coming this week. So all three of them, it'll be interesting. You know, David will have the Bryan game. It looks like I'll have College Station on Friday night and then Consol on Saturday. I'm looking forward to covering a game at NRG Stadium.
Yeah, you get the fancy place. Well, and Bryan's going to a fancy place.
Yeah, they're going to TDECU Stadium, which, of course, is former Robertson Stadium on the University of Houston campus. It's been spruced up a bit.
The other thing, Aubrey, you want to talk about, and we do have a short week, so I don't know how much more we'll be able to talk about those games. It's neat that we have the three teams still alive in the playoffs.
I started to say we only have three shows this week. I started to say we should just dedicate one day to each of the teams. But
well, I have something special coming up for tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
It's Consol related. But
okay.
I'm going to give you a little teaser on that.
Don't spoil
we did
it.
Want to mention a couple of the area games. I'm working on a column for tomorrow's paper about Cameron's really remarkable win. Right. Aubrey, they're three-time defending state champions.
One in 45-44 over Malakoff.
Have won 19 straight postseason games now after beating Malakoff 45-44. But get this, they didn't just beat Malakoff 45-44. They trailed in the first half 32-7.
Wow.
That's a big hole to dig your way out of. And so I'm writing a column about that. I talked to Rick Rhodes, the Cameron coach, today about how they got that accomplished. And it was an amazing game, an amazing comeback for the Yeomen. And then David and I talked about this. They went through all of that. Now they play Friday afternoon against a 12-0 team.
Yeah.
So the Yeomen are 11-1, ranked third in the state, have won three consecutive state championships, 19 straight playoff games. They're playing a 12-0 team in the regional semifinals this week.
Yeah, playing Grandview.
Yeah, so yeah. It's interesting.
Grandview is one of my favorite teams because from a uniform standpoint, I don't know if they still do this, but they used to have remember the old Bengal uniforms with the stripes across
them? Yeah.
Well, they have black and white stripes for the Zebras.
Oh, good.
It's a good look. It's a sharp look.
We also had one of our area teams, correct me if I'm wrong here, but might have had recorded the last win ever over Lamarck.
Yeah, Caldwell got the win over Lamarck, and as far as we know, that will be the last football game Lamarck ever plays. And you're talking about a team that's won state championships, I mean, year after year after year. Stephenville and Lamarck played each other forever in the old 4A, and championship games happened time after time. Stephenville won most of those, but they got to the championship game many times, and Caldwell knocked them out last week. That's just a big, big win.
This morning I talked to A&M Consolidated Defensive Coordinator Dale Williams, who's the former head coach at Caldwell, and you mentioned the fact, David, that this is as far as the Hornets have been in the playoffs since Coach Williams was out there running the program. Really happy for Bobby Jack Goforth and the Hornets. And that's a big deal. Aubrey, I think in the high school football playoffs, the second round is kind of a mile marker. When you're still playing, and David's going to have something later in the week about this, but when you're still playing on Thanksgiving, you're three rounds in, then, it was amazing. I don't know what David saw over at Bryan today, but when I was over at A&M Consolidated, I mean, there is a pep in everybody's step. They are still practicing football. They're 2 days, whatever, 3 days away from Thanksgiving. They're still playing. They're going to NRG Stadium. Life doesn't get a whole lot better when you're a high school football
player. Yeah, that's true even of the powerhouse programs in the state. I mean, I know, like, in at Kerrville, and, of course, they lost this weekend. But when I was there.
Nail lost, too.
Both of our teams lost. But it wasn't really real until three rounds in because, you know, even your good teams, even the teams that expect to win in the first and second round, you know, when it gets to the third round, when you're at Thanksgiving and you're there with your family, you're really thinking about what's going on in the weekend.
Right.
And like you said, that's a special marker.
We actually, for our Wednesday show this week, I actually went around and recorded today something with all of our all of the coaches in town and asked them about their Thanksgiving thoughts, and we'll get a variety of things that are on a
Ed, we have a
there.
Holiday theme because tomorrow's guest is going to be live from New York City, where some members of the Bengal Bells dance team is in New York for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
And
their sponsor and the head coach's wife will be live with us from New York tomorrow on the show.
All right.
Cool.
Man, y'all are I got to find some new guests for
that. A lot of pressure on you.
We mentioned Navasota. They won it over Jasper 35-21. What a big game that was. 28-21 late in the game. We should also mention Trendavian Dixon is now the all-time touchdown receiving leader in Texas high school history. That's just an absolutely amazing accomplishment. He moved by Jordan Shipley, and with his 74th touchdown reception, did that just prior to halftime. That's just astonishing to me. 74 touchdown receptions.
It's even more impressive because he was a guest on our show after his sophomore year.
And
the next two seasons were not ruined by being on this show. So that's a nice. He's got got that going for us, which is nice.
Yeah, that. Hey, and they got a tough one coming up this week as well because Navasota is going to move on to play Carthage after getting by Jasper. That's not going to be an easy game, and they're playing at Lamar on Friday, a 6 o'clock game there. So we got people. I'm telling you, it's spaced out all over the place. We've got afternoon games. We've got games in Lamar. We got games in Palestine. We got them in Bullard. We got them in Lago Vista.
We pretty much have East Texas, Central and East Texas covered from Lamar, yeah. Up way up to the northeast.
Well, Caldwell's playing West Orange Dark at that new stadium that the Ducaney between Ducaney and Porter there, and that's going to be a Friday night game. A lot of really interesting games coming up. Franklin is taking on Newton. How many times have we talked about that game before? Newton off to a terrible start, mostly because they played spectacularly good teams in non-district, and that's going to be Franklin's gigantic test, and they're going to play that one in Henderson, which we played in Henderson when I was in high school, and that was a drive from Mahia of about 3 hours. I can't even imagine how far that is from Franklin.
A little bit of ways there, but yeah, should be an exciting week.
It's amazing that we still have so many teams playing, Aubrey, and I think it's really spiced up by the fact that we have the three local teams, because we've become accustomed to success now with Navasota and Cameron and Bremont, but the fact that we got three locals still playing is big.
I don't want to.
And three games in Houston, by the way, at relatively big stadiums on Saturday, because University of Houston's hosting that Brian George Ranch game, and AM Consolidated and Ridgepoint are going to play at NRG, and the BV Chia Mustangs are playing Fort Bend Chargers for a championship, and they're at Houston Baptist.
All right.
So we may have to send you down to that.
You may have to skip the LSU game.
Yeah, that doesn't seem that important. Well, I'll just skip that one. By comparison at this point, right? Yeah. These teams are playing for something. The A&M and LSU are maybe playing to keep LSU's coach. I don't know what they're playing for exactly. So maybe better bowl standing. But yeah, it should be a fun weekend, and I know everyone around here is excited. Been a good year already.
And we'll see
if you can keep it rolling.
You know, if you win this week, you're halfway to the state championships in the playoffs. I mean, that ain't bad.
Well, I was going to ask. You don't want to get the cart before the horse. I know that everyone's going to have tough games this week or three rounds, and everyone's hard. But
yes.
Are we one? Would it be next week, or would it be the next week before the College Station schools would play each other?
We would be talking about not this week, but the following week.
That'd be
within the realm of possibility, right?
Yeah. Then, so they got a lot of hurdles.
That's going to be College Station again.
Yeah. It's Catageddon, right?
It'd be Catageddon, right?
So I don't know. Like I said,
purple and maroon.
A lot to overcome before we get to that point. But it's almost December, and it's still a possibility. So we will see how that goes.
Hope it happens.
I think our show will melt down. At least our 15-minute segment.
It will just be high school all day that Friday. I think we would have to do
the high school report as we know it probably would no longer exist. It would just implode.
We'll see what happens. Who knows? We'll have to expand our coverage if we get the Catageddon game. And we will see how it goes. All right, that was today's high school report brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozier, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozier, proudly supporting the youth of our community. We'll be back with the news. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
It's the best time of year to buy from the best farm and tractor retailer in the Brazos Valley, Normandy Tractor. Get zero down payment, 0% financing, top dollar for your trade-in, and free delivery. Get the Kubota L2501F 25-horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot Land Pride shredder and a 5-foot Land Pride box blade with teeth. And $2,250 in rebates for only $11,245 or $160 per month. Want your tractor to do even more? Well, try the Kubota L2501 HST 25-horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front-end loader, 5-foot Land Pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Get $2,250 in rebates. Pay only $18,145 or $231 per month. Why buy used when you can buy new with payments as low as these? That's why Normandy Tractor is known as the place to shop for all of your tractor, utility vehicle, and lawn equipment needs. Shop online at normandytractor.com, corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy. And remember, nobody beats Normandy Tractor. Nobody.
This Thanksgiving, spend your day giving back to our community. Epicure's Catering will be teaming up with the Brazos Food Bank and Dunkin' Dining Center for the 32nd annual Thanksgiving in the Brazos Valley. Hundreds of local volunteers are needed to lend a hand in preparation and delivery of over 1,000 Thanksgiving meals locally. Donations of food are being accepted at the Brazos Food Bank. Monetary donations for Thanksgiving in the Brazos Valley can be made at any location of the bank and trust. Sponsorship opportunities are also available. Call Epicure's Catering at 695-0985. Thank you for making this Thanksgiving special for your neighbors in the Brazos Valley.
It'll be getting dark earlier this month, so you'll need to get to Rattler's earlier to take advantage of these super November specials. Grab a couple of Mrs. Baird's delicious pies for breakfast, two for only $2 with your registered Rattler's reward card. Stop by and get a midday energy boost with a 2.85-ounce bag of Jack Link's jerky, buy one, get one free. On the way home from a hard day's work, pick up any 18-pack of beer from the fine families of beer from Bud, Miller, and Coors, only $15.99. Rattler's, friendly, clean, Texan.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
When you shop the BOGO free sale at Bell's, you'll have double the reasons to celebrate. Because through Tuesday, almost everything is buy one, get one free. Mix and match across the store. Buy a great sweater and get the perfect boots free. Then accessorize away. Because fine jewelry is buy one, get two free. Treat yourself. Then come back for our amazing Black Friday deal starting at 2 p.m. Thanksgiving Day. Hurry in for a brighter way to holiday. Your BOGO free sale at Bell's. Part of our Stage family. Exclusions apply.
Listen to The Zone, 102.7 in Sports Radio 1150 on your smartphone, tablet, or PC. Visit RadioAggieland.com.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, joined by Kelly Brown here to tell us what's going on in the news out there.
First of all, I have to tell you, that was my theme song in high school.
Yeah, it's your walk-up music?
Not really. I don't think I ever, at anything I've done in my life, had an appropriate song for walk-up music. What's your walk-up music?
That's yours now. I don't know. Mine is that Aggie Nation theme song that plays at the top of every hour.
Oh, okay. Well, that's kind of nice.
No, I don't have any walk-up music. I'll have to develop some walk-up music.
So this is, Thanksgiving week, Christmas week.
Is it? It's not Christmas week.
No, I'm...
Okay.
Be a good listener.
I was already fired up.
We're going to work on your listening skills.
Well, I'm already
Aubrey.
Fired up because the hotel in Nashville was already playing Christmas music. And I'm like, it's just five more days. Hold on, people. And then Friday, you can go nuts.
You're looking at the person that has prevented a picture of Santa Claus or a Christmas tree running this week. So
good.
Thank me right now.
Thank you.
Now,
it's
what
not
I was saying,
your time yet.
Correct. What I was saying is, this week is Thanksgiving, and then again on the week of Christmas, news tends to come to a grinding halt.
Except coaching news.
Correct. Yes. Sports, crime tends to pick up a little bit. But so we're this might be the last day we have Newsy News. But
forever?
We'll see. No, just for a few days. Then we'll have lots of fun features. But Caitlin is going to be at the College Station City Council meeting this afternoon because the council members are getting feedback on a draft ordinance that's going to regulate the operation of transportation network companies like Uber and Lyft. And so what's been happening at these meetings, if you've been reading the paper, Aubrey, you can catch up by going to theeagle.com or myaggination.com. Is that the Uber drivers have been criticized by the taxi cab drivers in town for
Shocker.
Their business, just like it is happening across the across the globe.
Mm-hmm.
So what's it going to mean to these Uber drivers in town? Do you know an Uber driver? Personally?
I don't. Yeah. Well, sort of.
Prior to riding with them? How do you sort of know an Uber driver?
Well, it's not like a friend of mine.
Are you stalking them?
It's not like a friend of mine, okay. But I know someone who I know is an Uber driver.
And do they have a regular job?
Yes.
It's interesting, isn't it?
It's just an extra way to make money, right?
I know. I'm going to save my editorializing.
I mean, don't you just, it's just a thing, like when you're available, you just do it and you drive people around.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. I can't ever picture you doing that.
Okay. I thought about it. Actually, I looked into it. My car is not new enough. You have to have a certain type of vehicle. My car is too old. I looked into it.
I just came very close to saying you could borrow my car.
Just for the story?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get Caitlin to drive some people around for the story.
Let's do it.
Yeah. We just volunteered Caitlin to be an Uber driver. She doesn't know that yet, but
let's do it.
Yeah.
You don't have to go through any training.
No, I don't. I didn't get that far because I was disqualified immediately because of my car.
Look at this. I haven't even talked about stories. So there's that. Sam's doing, you know, more details on those uniforms that A&M football team wore on Saturday.
The helmets were cool, huh?
Oh, they were. Yes, they were. We've also got an update online right now if you'd like to see, sadly, which Texas A&M student was killed over the weekend as they crossed the street over by George Bush Drive and Dexter Avenue. Be careful, guys. Look both ways. Crosswalks, lights there for
reason. It's a stressful time of the year. Everyone's got stuff going on. You never know when someone's going to be on the phone or something, so be careful. Look for people. Also, don't be on the phone, but be aware for other people who might be on their phone.
And don't drink and drive.
Well, yeah, obviously don't do that
either. According to police reports.
Yeah, don't do that either.